The Corian Football Club podcast is kindly sponsored by the Lodge Hotel, famous for food, functions, and fantastic value.
Hello, welcome once again to the Corian FC podcast. Another week gone, and another week of ups and downs in local football. I'm sure much which we'll talk about over the course of probably about the next hour or so in the company of myself and Johnny McNabb. Before we start, big shout out as ever to our kind sponsors, the Lodge Hotel in Corian. Thank you very much for your sponsorship. And just to say, if you're looking for a stylish bar to catch up with your friends, why not pop into Vibes Bar at the Lodge Hotel for delicious cocktails, a wide selection of gins, excellent wines and craft beers, and live music every Saturday night from 9:30 p.m. So a good wee spot on a Saturday night if you're looking for somewhere to go. So with the plug out of the way, Johnny, I'll say good evening to yourself. And have you come to terms yet with the Derby defeat last weekend?
Good evening, David. I suppose it's not easy to take. I suppose, it just seems to be the common theme. We're seeing a lot of goals at the moment. So, I think whenever Chevy gets we're on top, and then Chevy gets sent off, and then 10 minutes in the second half, sorry, just killed any momentum really for us. They scored twice, and yeah, we got one back, but to be honest, we probably never really looked after they got getting something out of the game. And yeah, I think, you know, Ballina's first home win as well, and just knew had everything up. It's just a really disappointing result. And yeah, I think we had a big chance, and Oran said after the game that like Laxham admitted himself that he should have scored, and God knows what type of game it would have been. So it's one of them things, and what really can you do? It's done now.
It is, it's done is right. Right. We'll have a special guest on the show this week. And it's not often, I think, we have a current Northern Ireland international on the programme. But I'm delighted to say we have this evening Brad Lyons. We'll talk about Northern Ireland in a little while. But when you're on, we'll just ask you, I mean, you're a massive Corian fan yourself. Corian losing at Ballymena at the weekend. That would have hurt you if you were a Corian player, wouldn't it?
Yeah, big style. I think my debut actually at Ballymena Showground in that derby. I think we lost 3-2 that evening. It's always tough to take. You don't like losing games at all, but especially against your rivals, Ballymena and stuff like that there, I think it makes it 100 times worse for the players, and I think even more so for the fans. But as Johnny says, it is a tough defeat to take, but I think for all the players and fans, they have to forget about it and hopefully can bounce back this Saturday, because at the end of the day, it's only 3 points like any other game.
Well, you've been in that situation. You just said your debut, sorry, was a derby defeat, 3-2 at Ballymena. Obviously, Saturday was 3-1. There were 10 men for 80 minutes of the game or something. What would be the mood in the changing room afterwards? I mean, I guess it goes without saying it would be a disappointing one. Would it be frustration, disappointment, anger? What would be the prevailing mood in the Korean changing room?
I think it would be frustration, because as Johnny said, it was Ballymena's first home win. So Oran and the boys were probably seeing that as a game to actually try and go and boost their season, and maybe has it as a stepping stone to try and kick on for the rest of the season. So I think it'll be sheer frustration, because obviously Ballymena has struggled at times this season and stuff like that there. But I think, as anyone knows, that football form goes out the window when it's Derby Day, and I think Ballymena showed that. But it is sheer frustration after the game, because you know how much it means to the fans. But I think the fans have got to realise that as well. It means so much for the players too. So I would say everyone that was involved in that chain room will be kicking themselves. But as I said, it's on to next Saturday now, and hopefully can bounce back, because in football you have a lot of short memories and stuff like that there. So if you go and win this Saturday, maybe it's forgot about a wee bit and you can actually push on and kick on again.
I think, Johnny, you sort of mentioned it there at the outset about the goals being conceded. I think I looked at it after the weekend, after the game. I think Korea have conceded 23 goals or something, 12 or 13 games. I mean, that's very on Korean, like, over the last while. We're not singling out defenders or defence, but it's probably clear to see that if you're going to concede almost an average of 2 goals per game, it's going to be difficult picking up points, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 24 goals and 13 games. And yeah, I know 5 of them obviously came against Gothenburg, but yeah, you make a good point. It's nearly an average of 2 goals a game, so you're starting really, what, 2-0 down. So yeah, and the league's unforgiven as well. So I like we said on Saturday, that Kieran Farn obviously played with Graham Kelly. I don't think them two fair played with each other as well. So obviously he's been, Warren's been quite unlucky with injuries at centre half, and I think we've 6 or 7 centre halves in the books, and I think 3 or 4 of them are injured, if not 5 of them. So yeah, he's been pretty unlucky in that regards too. So we just can't seem to get a settle back four at the minute, and obviously look, the keepers have probably played the same amount of games as well. So yeah, tie all that in, and it's not just defenders too. Brad will be the first to say that, you know, you defend from the front, so it'll be very, very hard just to single out the defenders for that one.
And I suppose really when you think about it, the wee guy Noah Stewart took his 2 goals very well, it has to be said. I mean, obviously perhaps question marks over the defending, but he took his goals very well. And then I suppose, to put the tin hat on it, Alex Gawn scored the 3rd goal. I mean, Brad, you would know Alex probably quite well, would you?
I know him very well. And I was actually going to say that. It's a wee bit of mixed emotions on Saturday. Obviously, I still support Korean and stuff like that there. I'm close to the boys and always want to see them do well because they helped me get to where I am now. But seeing my mate Alex Gawn score in the Prem, and I had to be against Korean obviously and stuff like that. There's been a bit of banter in our group chats and stuff, but no, like, you always love to see your mates do well. And to be fair, I watched all the highlights back, and it was a hell of a goal by Alex, and I had to text him. I didn't know where that came from, but I think it was just a wee bit extra motivation for him playing against his old team and stuff like that there. And he obviously took his chance really well, but he's been texting Lyndon and stuff into the group chats and stuff, just having a bit of banter, as they always do.
I have to say, to be fair to Alex, I thought his goal celebration was quite muted. If that had been me, I don't know what I would have done. But to be fair to him, and credit to Alex, he was quite muted about it.
I think he's that surprised he scored, that's why.
He said afterwards that he knew where his dad was, and that's where he ran over towards his dad, you know. But I think if it had been me, I'd have been running to the wife, giving it loads.
McKendry would have let him in the house again, so he had to watch what he was doing.
That's it. But I mean, as you say, from a personal level, lovely to see Alex, you know, because again, Jim Irvin was talking after the game, and Jim Irvin was paying tribute to Alex and saying that he started the season on fire, and then he picked up an injury, ironically, in the first game of the season against Korean, and that kept him out for a long period. But Jim paid testament to Alex working away behind the scenes to get himself fit again. And I suppose that was just reward, wasn't it? Scoring a goal in a high-profile game like that.
Yeah, 100%. And it's that saying that hard work, you'll reap your rewards if you put in the hard work and stuff like that there. And he has done that. And to be fair, Alex, throughout his career a wee bit, has been really unlucky with the timings of his injuries and stuff like that there. But he never gives up, and he never will do. So it is huge respect to him. And I think anyone that knows Alex around football and stuff will say he's a great guy, even around chain rooms and stuff. He's always got a smile on his face. He's always first one to train and working hard and stuff like that there. So yeah, fair play to him. But he could have timed it a wee bit better, but no, fair play to him.
he needs to sort that Barnett out as well, doesn't he, that hair?
Oh, we've said that to him plenty of times, but I think he loves the attention that way as well. So he loves it. Who knows what will come next on that head of his.
Great to see. But I mean, Johnny, in all seriousness, it is, because Alex was with Korean and then he was loaned out to Carrick and then he ended up now at Ballymena and he had his injuries, etc. So putting away the disappointment of the result. It was nice to see, because he's a lovely guy, isn't he? He's a great guy.
He's one of the best, to be fair. Now, I do mean that. And Friday, was it before, somebody screwed the window down at me as walking in the town. I think he shouted, "Come on, Ballerina," and it was Alex. So there you go. And then he decides he scored the next day. So he sent me a couple of messages as well. So, but that's all part and parcel of football. And to be fair, like, if it was had it been one each and he made it 2-1, or we were one up and he made it 1-1, he probably would have been a bit more raging. But listen, the game was over by that stage anyway. So, yeah, look, that could be the spring for Alex. They go and do well. And, you know, I would love him to do well, except against us. And that's just been put on. And every Corian fan would probably say that as well. So, as for the hair, I just wish I had that much hair to play with.
I didn't want to say anything, but it was... I did think about it, but I thought, no, I'll be kind to you. So I need to get mine sorted, by the way, as well. But that's another story. But Brad, you were saying about Alex and about hard work, etc., and getting your rewards and stuff, and that could apply equally to yourself as well. You know, I knew you were coming on this evening, obviously, and I was thinking back, and obviously we'll talk about Northern Ireland shortly, but you have had hard times in your career as well. I mean, obviously Corian, but even as a youngster, as a young lad, am I right in thinking that there were times that you maybe even thought that, about giving up in football as well, because you were obviously a talented young player, but things just weren't really falling into place, weren't working for you. And at that stage, had you doubts about whether you were going to do football at all? Am I right in thinking?
Yeah, no, you're 100% correct. And as you said, like, my youth career was so easy, really. I started off at Riyadh, absolutely loving my time playing alongside my mates and stuff. And it was just so easy with the enjoyment, and that just meant I was playing really well. And like, the team we had was really successful. I think we won the South Belfast League and a few cups and stuff that got there from the start. And then I went to Linfield, just trying to better my career, really, just to take it more serious. And I had 4 or 5 years at Linfield, loving it and stuff. But then, as you said, I think it was one of the foil cups or something that got there. I just started getting knee problems. I think it was just with growing and overplaying and stuff, because even at school, I played every sport. So I just started getting knee problems, and it started aggravating me and stuff that got there. And then I could see boys around me and stuff starting to get better, Lamy, and it was quite frustrating, because I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't think I was doing anything wrong, but it was that type of thing that my mind wanted to do one thing, but my body sort of wasn't letting me. And like, even my dad and mum were getting frustrated just the way that, like, I was playing and stuff at times. But yeah, like, towards the end of my career, or end of time at Linfield, when I was younger and stuff, I played the Milk Cup, and then it was sort of after that there that I got rejected for the Northern Ireland Victory Shield. I got to the last trial and they just said, like, I wasn't good enough. And looking back on it now, I totally accept it. I really wasn't good enough. And whether that was just to do with my ability or my physical abilities and stuff, I just wasn't the same person as I was when I was younger. And then it has to go to huge respect to Andy Law, first and foremost, because he was the one that came to my house, spoke to my mum and dad, because we were talking about going back up to Belfast, maybe playing for a different team and stuff. But he came to the house and was just like, the best thing for Brad is to start enjoying his football again. And he just took over Balmoney under 18s at this time. And I was 16, I think. So I was a year or two young. So I had a few years before. And he was just like, we're getting a good team together. Some of my friends was already there and stuff. Let's give it a good bash. And I was like, yeah. So I started the pre-season off there at the under-18s at Ballymoney, loving life again. It was just like, I felt like I was a child again, loving football, enjoying going to training, looking forward to matches. And then, to be fair, that never lasted long. I think Andy's going to fall out with me over this. Gackie and then Johnny Law rang up and came to my door and stuff. They got there and was just like, look, we see you're back home and playing and enjoying it again. Trying to go to Corian, and then I was just like, well, it's Irish League local team and stuff that got there. If I want to keep my career going, then I'll go. So I think it was easily just 2 months at Ballymoney, and then Corian, the Gaggy came and took me for the first game of the season. And then, like, sort of since then, it's just it's all been into cruise control, really. I went in from Corey and under 18s to reserves within a few months, and then I think I made my debut at Corey and within a year and a half of signing for the under 18s and stuff. So it came naturally to me and stuff like that there. But as I said, it was a big thanks to Andy Law for getting me back and enjoying my life and enjoying football and stuff again. And then it was big thanks to Gak and Johnny for bringing me to Corey and giving me a chance to better myself. And I was probably the fittest there under Johnny and his training and stuff. And then thankfully the first team wasn't doing really well, and there's a few boys coming towards the end of their time, so then Oren gave me and a few other boys their chances and stuff, and then thankfully that it gave us the confidence and the chance to show what we were capable of, and I got a good 4 or 5 years at Korean first team.
It's crazy, Johnny, isn't it? Because I'm sure Brad's not the only player that has had knockbacks at a young age, and it's almost, it's a fine line, isn't it, between making it or not making it. But all credit to Brad, because, you know, he could easily have went the way of others and maybe was lost to the game. But I think it's a credit to Brad and he said Andy and Gaki and Johnny Law, but also to, excuse me, Brad and his own family. They got the head down and they worked at it. And ironically, after being rejected for Northern Ireland at schoolboy level, here he is now, a fully fledged senior Northern Ireland international.
You're right. And, you know, Brad might have thought that it might not have worked out with Kilmarnock, probably towards the latter stages of last season. And he got a run on the team. And now he's been captain and scoring against, or that flip against Rangers, he scored the other week there. And something like that. And then obviously, look, I think there's question marks if he's ever going to play for Northern Ireland. And, you know, he's called up and then starts against Slovenia. So, no, yeah, I think, well, life just works in mysterious ways, I suppose. And, but yeah, look, I think you always have to work hard as well for what you get. And I think there's...
He's hardly second, isn't he, Brad?
Aye, he's everywhere now, hey. Tell me this appearance to come on this podcast. I swear that we're broke. We're broke, Damien. That's the last podcast ever.
You're nearly as much as Skinner last week.
Skinner and Brad, that just wiped the budget.
Skinner probably asked for 5 times what I did.
like Skinner was on last week, and actually, I think Skinner was talking about the likes of you last week and that, and he was paying credit to you as well. But I'm sure, vice versa, you would be one of the first to pay tribute to Skinner as well, because you come into that changing room as a young fella, and even at that stage, Skinner was on in years as well. He's obviously 39 now, and he wasn't a soccer player as such, but I guess you learned an awful lot from people like Skinner just about life in a changing room and in a team and a squad environment.
Yeah, massively. And I would say you probably learned more about him like on the training pitch and stuff they got there rather than actually on a match day, because like he's like, as you said, he was maybe coming towards the end of his career, like pushing on and stuff like that there, but like the smile, and even Dougie and Winky and stuff like that was the same. Even Neil McCarthy, Rory Higgins towards their end of their careers, like they were coming into training every night with a smile on their face, like absolutely buzzing to be there and stuff like that there. And as a young boy, you're seeing them boys probably 15 years in the game, and like they're still coming in laughing, joking and smiling just to train and stuff, and then looking forward to the match days and stuff. And like, maybe not at the time you realise it and stuff, but like looking back at it, like, yeah, they played a massive part in it. Just like they kept the enjoyment, because obviously there is pressures that come with football and stuff, with fans or like, trying to win games and stuff that got there, but they just kept the fun as well. But then they were so demanding on the training pitch, on match days and stuff, like they never gave you 1 minute's peace, like if you were slacking, like they would certainly kick you up about it and stuff that got there. So yeah, as I've always said, like I pay like massive respects to them boys, because without them boys at the start, and then without the boys that I've like played regularly with, I wouldn't be where I am without them boys, because they push me on. And as football is, it's a team game and stuff, and without getting results and doing well as a team, the individual might not get noticed at times either.
Yeah. Do you then take what you've learned from the likes of those guys that you've just mentioned, and do you adopt them in your role as captain? I mean, being captain of a Scottish Premier League club is a big deal. You're 26, that's relatively young to be a captain. There's a responsibility there. Do you take on board a lot of the things that you learned from that changing room in Korean that you can apply now?
Well, as in terms of captain and stuff, I just wore the armband on the pitch because I think played Kyle Vassell and Rory McKenzie are like the club captains around the place and stuff. So it was just because they were out injured. Thankfully, the gaffer trusted me enough to give me the armband and stuff and got there. And it was a huge honour to wear the armband. And it was one of my proudest moments this season, as well as wearing the armband and leading the team out against Rangers and Celtic and teams that got there. But I think so, actually, because without even realising and stuff, like when the young boys train with us and stuff, they got there, like, the young boys nowadays are so tough on themselves. Like, they make one wee mistake in training and stuff, and, like, they're at themselves, and you see the head go down and stuff. So without even, like, knowing, like, I'm over, like, trying to give them a wee bit of advice and stuff or telling them just to keep going, and I'll be quite, like, positive in terms of my advice and, like, trying to give them confidence and stuff that got there. But it probably does come from them boys and stems back to my time at Korean and stuff that got there, because even as Oren, as a manager and stuff that got there, it would be tough to bring young boys through. But he was just like, don't worry about anyone else. Just go play your own game and stuff. We'll give you the chance. We'll back you and trust you out in the pitch. You're good enough. And with that confidence, then you can go out. And like Michael O'Neill actually said it to me before the game against Slovenia, it was just like, don't stress about it. You've played big games this season. Like, this isn't just going to be your only chance. So don't go out and think it's an all or nothing game here. Like, you have to play well. Like, just trust yourself and trust the way you play. And those words just calm you down, because then you do realize it's just another game of football. Like I've earned my way to get here. So, like, throughout my whole career, I earned my way to get the Korean reserves first team, then across the water and stuff. And then when you start realizing that and start realizing your self-worth, then you can actually go play your own game, and hopefully it's good enough on the day type thing.
Johnny, were you at that game at Brad's debut for Northern Ireland? Am I right in thinking?
Yeah, I was up at it. Yeah, bad start, and then we had a thing that probably hated me wee bits of the first half. And second half, I thought we played really well with him in, believe it or not. I actually thought we were the better team. But yeah, I think it was one of those games that, I think if Northern Ireland were still playing, they probably maybe just wouldn't have scored. It just had that feel of it, you know, that sort of way. But yeah, look, I think it's just probably a lot of injuries and you guys bedded in, and it's just going to take a lot of time. And like, that was Brad's first cap, the one Toll's first tap, or first cap, you know, when there's guys there, you take out Evans and Washington, or Evans and McGuinness, it's, there wouldn't be a lot of boys with many caps in that squad. So, yes, definitely a learning curve.
But the thing is, and I think Brad, I think you were on record in an interview as well, but Johnny, you've followed Northern Ireland and you've been to the Euros, etc. And it is the start almost of a new cycle, isn't it? And it is a young team. But there are good young players coming through there, and you've got to give them time, and you've got to give them and Michael O'Neill time to kind of gel. And to, I think we've spoken about this on the way home from a match recently. You know, that team that went to the Euros in France, that Gareth McCauley and that just didn't happen overnight, did it? That happened over a period of 4, 5, 6 years. And fans have got to give these guys patience, this current generation, haven't they?
Yeah. Like, Michael O'Neill probably had 4 or 5 players who were playing the Premier League at that stage as well, and a lot of them boys had a lot of caps and a lot of experience, and they were used to they playing the same team as each other, and you could probably name the starting 11 more or less. You know, now it's, and I think is what I was added to it as well, is that whenever the draw was made, I think a lot of people thought Northern Ireland had a really good chance of going through here, and then obviously Davis gets injured, Dallas gets injured, Johnny Evans is struggling, Corey Evans get injured. You know, and then obviously the last campaign we've just struggled to score goals. So if you factor all that in, and you know, obviously like Slovenia are no mugs, and the two guys up front, I think one's at Leipzig, and then Denmark are a good team too. And Kazakhstan are just having one of them groups where they could be in a group now, the next, you know, the next 5, 6 groups, and barely pick up a point. It's just one of the things, you know. It's, but I think the big thing for Northern Ireland the next run of games is try and pick up points against the team other than San Marino. I think just to get a bit of confidence going and for everybody. And yeah, no, I think this campaign has definitely been a bit of transition, and probably even the next one too, because you know, there's no guarantees how Stuart Dallas is going to be and whether John Evans is going to continue and guys like that. So yeah, it's definitely going to need a lot of patience.
Yeah, I mean, but as I said, Brad, I seen you done an interview and you mentioned, you know, the young players at the Shea Charleses of this world and players like that coming through, and about how good they are potentially, and it is going to take time. Callum Marshall, I think you mentioned him as well, and of course then there's also the possibility of PK coming through as well. He's obviously doing well for the Northern Ireland under 21s. It's not beyond the realms of possibility that maybe he doesn't move into the senior team within the next period of time. So I mean, that's a tantalising prospect for you, Brad, isn't it?
100%. And as you said, like, all the young boys coming through from the 21s are top quality, all most across the water. If not across the water, they're playing like for good Irish league teams and winning every week and playing men's senior football and stuff, which I'll stand them in good stead. But as Johnny said there, like, the first team are very young as well. And probably just for the fans and stuff that got there, yes, it is frustrating at the time because we all want results and we all want to be winning games all the time and stuff. But even at the camp there, like, Johnny Evans was speaking about his Northern Ireland career, and I think the 2016 Euros, that was his 10th year playing for Northern Ireland at the time. And he was saying to us boys, like, it does take time. It does take development and stuff. It got there and patience and hard work. But it can be done, as they showed. And with the players coming through and the way we're gelling and the way even like they welcome me into the last couple of camps and stuff and seeing their quality day in, day out on the training pitch, we are very close. But it is about, as Johnny said, scoring them goals and winning games and stuff we got there. But it's a process, and one that, now that I've been in the camps and stuff that got there, that I'm very confident that we can start kicking on over the next few years or next campaigns.
I know it was your first cap as well, but you've been to training camps, and now that you have had your debut and you did well in your first game, and Michael Neal obviously said to you beforehand that it's not going to be your one and only cap. Do you feel now like a part of that Northern Ireland squad, and what does that do for you in terms of just overall confidence?
Yeah, on a personal note, like, I think the last couple of camps or when I was sitting around, even having coffees or even in training and stuff that got there, I was always trying to impress. I felt like a young boy again type thing, like trying to impress so much and stuff that got there. And not that they made me or anything, but like, I felt like a wee bit of an outsider because I'm looking around all these boys and like everyone's got caps here and there and stuff. Everyone's already made their debut, and then like there's me like getting called into the camp and not made an appearance, and then obviously just sitting on the bench like chomping at the bit to get on. But yeah, now I've made that appearance and my first start and stuff, I got there and done decent enough with it. Like, I do feel a lot like more involved. I do feel a part of it and stuff. But yeah, like, now I've got that feeling for like playing for Northern Ireland, representing my country, I just want to do it more and more now. And I remember the last time we were on this podcast or any time I've spoke to people about Northern Ireland, I'm just like, oh, it would be a dream come true to walk out at Windsor Park and sing the national anthem in the green and white jersey and stuff. And like, every time I say it now, like, I just like have a big smile on my face because like I've actually done it, if you know what I mean. But like, I'm not just satisfied anymore. Like, it's went on now. I want to make another appearance and stuff we got there. I want to keep moving on, keep kicking on. So it is a great feeling now.
And I guess the aim now is just to become an established international, is to nail down a place in that midfield for the foreseeable future. And who knows how many caps you could end up. But that's the aim now, isn't it? It has to be.
Yeah, exactly. I think as you just put the nail on the head there, it has to be. Like, I always want to strive towards different goals and challenges, and I think that is the next challenge. Like, now I've got that first start and stuff, and Obviously, Paddy McNair was suspended at the time too. So I do know there's a lot of quality, like real good quality in my position and stuff that got there. But now I've got that feeling. I just want to kick on with Kilmarnock, keep being consistent and playing well with them. And then if I get my chance with Northern Ireland, then I just want to, yeah, cement my place in the midfield or cement my place just in the team and start playing regularly. And if I'm not playing, then I'm coming on regularly. So, yeah, that's the next goal and the next challenge for me.
But I mean, Johnny, it's great to see because, as Brad mentioned, we've had Brad on the podcast a couple of times before, and he's always very generous of his time and coming on. And to be fair, he never changes, which is one of the great things about him. But, you know, he'd said about his goal playing for Northern Ireland. And I think it's probably fair to say that you and I have watched Brad coming through at Corian and all his career at Corian and Blackburn and Morecambe and St Mirren and that. And I think we always had that belief that Brad one day become an international. So it's great to see for us. And I think it's also heartwarming when you see just how many messages that he's had from local people, from his club manager, Derek McGuinness, was talking about how pleased the Kilmarnock family were. And that just tells you something about Brad as a person, doesn't it? How popular he is.
Yeah, I just don't know what took him so long. Like, what was he waiting? listen, definitely. And yeah, I think, you know, I seen the PA copy and that Derek McGuinness said about Brad as well. I think it was pretty much a press conference where they were playing last weekend. And I know Brad was up for media duties as well for Kilmarnock because I read his as well. And so, well, welcome to the big time now, Brad, son. I think everyone was delighted for Brad. And you know, you just look at the comments that he's had, just the sign, and just everyone's happy for him. You nearly feel that you know, not that you helped them along the way, but you nearly feel like just proud. Like, I'm sure Oren feels like a proud uncle, and there's just different people that's helped Brad throughout his journey, whether you're Andy Law or Oren Kearney or Derek McInnes or even whoever was manager of Morgan at that stage. You know, I'm sure all the people are just fully behind him. And yeah, it was, you know, 26 now, he's got still plenty left in the tank. And yeah, here's hoping he's plenty more caps. And yeah, definitely.
Another good 10 years there, I would say, Brad. 26.
Dougie played there, he was 54 or something. So
Skinner's no. Skinner's playing now. He'll be 40 this December. Like, so there's hope for you.
Dougie Skinner, I don't know what they're fueling themselves with, but yeah, they're just different breeds.
Beer mostly.
How they've lasted so long, and not even lasted so long, how well they lasted as well. Like, their performances were unbelievable. So if I can last as long as them two can, then yeah, I'll be a happy guy.
And Northern Ireland, I think two games left. I think is it Finland and Denmark. You'd love it. Well, we assume that you'll be in the squad for those two games. Hopefully, you'll be starting. I'm just thinking, Denmark, you know, there's a couple of players there you'd like to swap shirts with, is there?
Yeah, just a few. I think Christian
who would you make a beeline for, Dan?
I think Christian Eriksen's the first one that comes into mind, doesn't it? Just like being a Man United fan and stuff, and then just seeing how cool it is. That would be a nice one to add to the mental piece now, but obviously they have a lot of good players in Union United signing Højbjerg and stuff in the midfield. So yeah, they're a very good team. So I wouldn't mind swapping a shirt with a few of them now.
And as Johnny said, you just want to try and maybe pick up some points. And it's frustrating probably for Michael O'Neill too, because it's hard for him as well, because he's trying to rebuild a team and stuff. What's he like, Brad? I mean, he's obviously got his own connections to Corey, and he came through here as a young teenager before he went to England. I mean, you said a little bit about what he said to you. I mean, he always comes across as a very sort of, what's the word, composed sort of a character. He never just get too carried away, does he?
No, he's been brilliant. The two camps that I've been involved in and stuff, he's always took his time with each individual. If you wanted to speak to him, or if he's come and speak to you and stuff. And then even the coaching staff he has around him and stuff that got there, they just like implement each other perfectly. They have Jimmy Nicol, Dermot O'Carroll, and Andy Cousins and stuff that got there as coaches, and they're just absolutely brilliant. Like, Jimmy's there to to lift the mood whenever I need it and stuff. He got there or put the arm around you. He's just brilliant. And like,
he's good crack, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Michael would be the same. Like, as I said, what he said to me before the game and stuff, that like, he just speaks, says the right words at the right times, if you know what I mean, and keeps you calm. But again, like, it's like any good manager, if we're not doing it on the training pitch or not doing it on the pitch, he'll soon let you know, if you know what I mean. So he's got that, a bit of a scare factor about him too, which I guess every manager needs, so boys can listen to them. But I think if you see what he's seen, what he's done in his coaching career, especially with Northern Ireland getting us to the 2016 Euros and the players he's coached and stuff they got there, if you can't listen to managers like that there, then you can't really listen to anyone in the footballing world. So he's been absolutely brilliant with me, and I'm so thankful for that. So yeah, it's been brilliant to work under him.
Just keep doing it. Obviously, this campaign coming to an end, and like anything in life, there'll be another campaign coming around. All the talk, the Euro 2028, the whole talk about Casement Park as well, Brad, I don't want to draw you into a whole political argument, but it's out there, and the topic about Northern Ireland possibly playing Euro 2028 at Casement Park. I mean, firstly, the idea of having the Euros in Belfast would be something special, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be unbelievable. And I think as any youngster or any footballing fan, it's sort of, again, it's like a dream come true, not only to represent your country, like in your home city and stuff like that there, but an actual major tournament like the Euros. So if any opportunity you can do that, I know I'd be grabbing with both hands and taking it. But as you said, like, I don't want to get into politics and stuff, and I guess everyone has their own reasons for and against it and stuff like that there. But if it actually ruins the chance of not hosting it in, like, in Northern Ireland, such a major tournament, and like the amount of countries that could be over here and stuff like that there, or even a chance to like play in it, I think it's madness, because like I think it would just be the best thing ever for this country, and I think everyone would come together. But and even the fans, Northern Ireland fans, like, I think when they went to the Euro 2016, they were probably nominated the best and stuff they got there. Just so to actually host that tournament in your home country, like, I think it would be great for us and boost our wee country even more in the world.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny, you were part of the Green and White Army in 2016 over in France, and I mean, you enjoyed your experiences over there. You excited at the thought of maybe 2028, the Euros actually taking part, some of it in Northern Ireland and in Belfast?
Right. Casement, around the casement's just not quite nice, or can, sure it's not. It's not great, not quite as pretty.
But, it is. You don't have the sunshine to start with, oh, that's for sure.
Aye, but no, listen, I think, you know, if Northern Ireland, are they, you know, they host it, any, well, they already host it, obviously, and so, yeah, why not give it a go? And I don't know if they'll need to qualify or not, probably will have to, so. But they have a big, you know, they have such a big tournament, I suppose, on your doorstep, you know, 4 or 5 matches. Like, you'd be mad not to try and push for it and go for it and see where it takes you.
It would be quite something, wouldn't it, if you had like Northern Ireland playing the Euros, and well, maybe at France, Germany, whoever, you know, it would be, but it's a long way away. It's 2028, so there's a lot of I's to be dotted and T's to be crossed before then. But in terms of your own form, Brad, you have to still consistently perform at a club level first and foremost to consolidate any place in the Northern Ireland team. And I was looking and Kilmarnock are doing well this year, and they're at the top half there, and they're a good solid start to the campaign, haven't they?
Yeah, the way we started the season, we started the season like a house on fire, the wee League Cup campaign. In the group stages and stuff, we were performing well. And then we played the big, well, so-called three, Rangers, Celtic and Hearts, and got results against all of them, beating Rangers and Celtic and then drawing away the Hearts. And we were absolutely on top of the world. We never got carried away. But then just, I think it's a wee bit like Northern Ireland and Korea at times. We were like playing well, playing really well in games, but we just seemed to be conceding first and or then like clawing back the game to get a draw and stuff like that there, conceding silly goals to lose games. And it was frustrating because we were playing really well and probably deserved a lot more. But then thankfully we have picked up a few decent draws and stuff like that there. And when you look back on them, and then we won on Saturday and it pushed us up to fifth. So yeah, we are doing well. And we're playing really well, and then it's just around the place and stuff. It's a great change room, and I think that really helps. When there's a good change room, you enjoy going into training every day. It's, you don't really call it work. It's just really easy to be around, and I think that provides itself on the pitch as well.
Probably tough too, you know, because you mentioned there the likes of Rangers, Celtic, Hearts, Aberdeen, who you play this weekend. You know, those are historically big clubs, with the greatest respect, you know, maybe Kilmarnock slightly less so. And it is hard for Killy over the period of a long season to try to compete with those guys, because invariably those bigger clubs will always perform better over because of bigger squads and better squads. Would that be right in saying that?
To be honest with you, when speaking about it and thinking about it, I think Kilmarnock and Corian are very, very similar. In the Irish League, you see Corian. What they've done in the past, like obviously when I was there, we won the Irish Cup, finished second, lost in the last day of the season. And then the Corian teams in the past there have won the League Cup a few times and stuff that got there. So they've done it. And the fans, like, have seen that and witnessed that so recent. And then it's even the same as Kilmarnock. I think it was might be wrong here, but 2018 under Steve Clark, they finished third and qualified for Europe and stuff that got there. And when fans see that, see the success of clubs, they just want it more and more, and maybe they get used to it. So it is tough to try and reach same expectations all the time, but we, like, at the same time, yes, we might not have big enough squads and stuff, but I totally think and I totally agree that I think we have good enough players in our squad, and we don't need that bigger squad because we're all in it together, and we have great players with great talent, and we're still a lot of competition for places, which makes it more exciting. When you're in the team, you feel like you've been rewarded for your hard work, but you know at the same time if you don't perform, there's boys sitting on the bench and they'll take your shirt, not a problem.
It's a tough gig, football, isn't it? You mentioned fans' expectations, and that's the same over here. You watch Corian from afar now, but you're well aware of where the club are at the minute, recent results. And to be honest, there has been some discontent among a section of supporters, possibly because of something similar to what you say. When you get used to a bit of success, you kind of expect it, and then when it doesn't match up to that, then people start questioning, and there's an unhappiness. You see that from across there, because you still follow Corian, and you're friends with people who follow Corian. I mean, do you get a sense of certain amount of frustration among supporters here?
Yeah, I think you can see their frustration clear as day, on social media especially. I think you can see it clear as day, and like sometimes that's the only way that I can see how Corian's doing and stuff like that there, because obviously we play at the same time a lot of it. And yeah, it is really tough. Like, don't get me wrong, I totally get it. Like, fans work Monday to Friday every week, and then that the football is what they look forward to. Like, that's their release from, like, the sort of the real world, if you know what I mean. Like, that's their release, that's in their enjoyment, what they look forward to. So I get it when they're frustrated if the players aren't doing their job, or sometimes people don't think they're trying as hard as they can and results aren't what they're used to, as we said, like, because that season I think we went unbeaten in the league and stuff like that there. But at the same time, when you read comments and stuff like that there about your friends and stuff like that you support, it is really tough to read at times and not reply, because at the end of the day, like I don't want to sound big time, but we are still all human beings, if you know what I mean. Like, we're trying our hardest. Like, for the boys in Korean, it's like their second job as well. Like, they're working Monday to Friday, then playing on a Saturday and stuff like that there. So, and you never know, like, the struggles they're having. So a few of them really negative comments can actually affect people more than they actually think, if you know what I mean. Like, some people are going, oh, I'll type this or write this, and it's only a few words, but like, you never know how someone's days went and stuff, so it can actually affect them more than they think. But yeah, like, obviously they're going to show their frustrations if they think that their people aren't putting in performances, but at the same time, like, footballers are still human beings at the end of the day, and they're trying as hard as they can. So if it's not working out, at times everyone makes mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny, wise words there from Brad. Like, you know, you've come in for a bit of criticism too, you know, and maybe the club as well. And, you know, there has maybe been decisions made or whatever. And it is, you know, frustrating for everybody concerned. But, you know, at the end of the day, like Brad alluded to, you know, it's everybody's frustrated, you know what I mean? And there has to be a degree of, you know, thinking about what we're all thinking and saying at times as well, isn't it?
Yeah, like don't get me wrong, I think, you know, my own personal opinion is that the comments should still be on for fans to make a statement. I think there's a difference between constructive criticism saying, oh, I think the back four could have defended the first goal better, rather than an individual calling someone an F and B or an F and, you know, or calling them, you know, there is a difference between constructive criticism and just going above board. And some of the comments that I have seen are a disgrace. Like some comments I've read, you know, and it seems to be that whenever we get beat, the stewards get a go at, the media team has a go at, there's a go at them, there's a go tea ladies, price of burgers, like everyone seems to get like everything, Oren, and you know, it's just crazy. Like, and so yeah, like some of the stuff that's said is absolutely bonkers.
It is difficult because we all feel it, we all frustrate it, and that's the problem. You know, we all, you know, none of us likes to say, put it, I guess, none of us want to go and sit at fucking Ballymena Showgrounds and get beat 3-1.
No, 100%, and I get it. And I, like, there's nobody more frustrated on a Saturday afternoon than we get beat than me. You know, having to write about it and see all the time, like, you know, and stuff like that. So no, I get it.
And do you know what? It doesn't help either when we have to sit in the Ballymena and, you know, at work.
Yeah, and fans pay their money and everything else. But you know, like, there's, you know, it's not as if people aren't trying. And you know, for all the volunteers that seem to be getting the brunt of it at the minute, if they all walked away, the club would be in an even worse, you know, the club would be in a worse state than what it is now. So I just think people just are frustrated, and yeah, and you just go onto social media, and like, so like, constructive criticism, I welcome it 100% in a debate. There's absolutely no problem with that, but just there is, like, I just couldn't imagine going on Kilmarnock's Facebook and going, Brad Lyons is an F, and, you know, or
I'm sure there's some people putting that,
you know,
in,
like, you know, but I just couldn't imagine doing it. Like,
no, I totally agree, Johnny, that the fans pay their hard earned money to come watch us on a Saturday, and it's the same over here, and everyone's like entitled to their opinions and stuff. But like you said, it, you put the nail on the head there. Like, there's certain ways of putting it. Like, I totally agree with that there. Like, there's right ways of putting it on there, and there's no point of like picking people out individually or putting names in it and stuff like that there. At the end of the day, I think any good manager or any team says, like, we win, lose, or draw as a team, and like, that involves everyone, because like, maybe someone's made a mistake last week, but like 2 weeks down the line, they could save the team and stuff like that there. So there's ways and hows of right and stuff, so I totally agree with that. But everyone's entitled to their opinion. They pay their hard-earned money. Sometimes tickets are too expensive at times as well. So no, I totally get it. They can shout and like moan and like express their feelings. But there's ways and ways of doing it.
It is, and I think, you know, we're talking on a Korean podcast, but I think it happens in clubs all over the UK, Ireland, the world, whatever. I think it's just a common thing. And I think the advent of social media has probably made things a lot worse, hasn't it? I mean, back in the old days, you would go to a match on a Saturday, have a good gulder, as some of the fans would describe it as, have a good moan on the pitch on a Saturday at your players, and then you could leave it. But with 24/7 social media now, it's never away. As a footballer, Brad, it must be hard because you must be tempted to go and read stuff. Like, if you have a good game, you like to, like, we're all human. If you do well, you like somebody to say compliment you done well. The flip side of that coin is if you have a stinker, you don't want to read what the, so it's a double-edged sword, isn't it?
Yeah, massively. And I'd be the first one to admit it. When I play a good game and stuff, you'd love to type your name in and see all the applaudits you're getting and stuff like that there. But at the same time, there could be 100 good comments about you and one bad one. And the only one you'll remember is that bad one at the end of the day. And I'm going to be honest with you. The last 2 or 3 years when I've been at Kilmarnock, I've been working with a mindset coach. And it's just dealing with people's opinions, working on my own confidence and stuff that got there. And it, like, not to be cheeky, but I'm not caring about other people's opinions and stuff. What matters, like, is the most important people around me is the managers, like, picking the team and coaching us and stuff, and my own opinion. Like, I think I know when I play well and I play bad and stuff. So over the last 2-3 years, like, I totally accept all comments coming my way. But I think it's just been really good for my own mindset that I don't go on social media after the games and stuff. I'll go on and maybe post a few pictures and stuff, but I won't read anything about me or anything about the game or what to highlights and stuff that got there. But again, it's just like, yeah, I totally agree. It is really tough, because, like, there's been times that I've read comments about myself and the rest of the week, that's all you can think about. You're thinking in your head, oh, are they right? Am I that bad a player type thing and stuff that got there? And you start worrying, you do start doubting yourself. But I think that's why at Kilmarnock and stuff, like, we've set rules and structures in place that you're not allowed to post anything on social media 24 hours or after your game and stuff that got there to try and keep you away from it. But I feel like it's easier over here now that I'm evolving myself around good people. I'm living with my girlfriend and the dog and stuff that got there. So, like, it's easy to put the phone away once I'm out of the game and stuff that got there. And it makes it a lot easier. So with even a wee bit of advice for players and stuff is, do involve yourself around good people so then you can escape from it. Because I think at the start, I was just football daft. Like, I played a game, I thought about the game the whole week till the next one and stuff. But it's actually good to escape away from it. But yeah, I do agree that social media can make it worse. but again, like, I accept, like, there's different opinions on it. Like, Johnny says that the comments should, like, be there for Korean games or under Korean statuses and stuff. But I do get players, and especially Korean at the moment, they're having their struggles. Players would easily click on it and see their names being battered and flew around and stuff. So it can be tough for them. And especially when sometimes they have to walk around their hometown and stuff and then bite their own tongues because they can't say anything back, because then the worst in the world if they actually say something back. So yeah, there's pros and cons to it, but I guess that's the way social media is now, that everyone can express their opinion, so you just gotta accept it and be stronger and overcome them.
That's sensible stuff there, Brad, because it's not going away anytime soon. Social media is just going to be here forever, and it's good that you're in a good place, you know, you say, with your girlfriend and the dog and everything else. It helps. Another good trick for that is getting older as well, because the older you get, the more you don't give a shit. That helps too. Do you know? But it's true. You know, like, as you get older, a lot of those things that you worried about when you're younger, you kind of just go, it's not really worth worrying about. But that's easy for me to say. I'm not playing at football.
No, I totally agree with you, because I totally agree with you, because my time at Corian when I was 17 to 21 and stuff, I got there, I was worried about my ratings in the newspaper, and the next day I was worried about what people were saying about me and stuff. I got there, but whereas nowadays, like when I play a game and stuff, I'll either know I've played well or played bad and stuff, and like I just accept it after the game. Like if I play bad, I know what I can work on and stuff. If I play good, like, I know what I can try and implement and keep playing well. So I totally agree with you. Like with a wee bit more experience and stuff, you got there, you can just accept it, and as you said, not care, and just move on.
And Johnny's the same. Like he's like mellowed since he got married there about a year or so ago. You know what I mean? Look at him,
tranquilo, Damien. I don't care anymore.
you just given up, haven't you?
I'm a changed man, Damien. Changed man.
That's it. Here, you don't care. You were saying that a while ago about Rangers, but now they've got a new manager. What do you think, Brad, about this new Rangers manager then for Johnny?
You have to give it time, don't you? Obviously, they put four by Hibs on Saturday, which is really impressive because we played Hibs ourselves, and with their new manager, we were playing good football and stuff like that there. But I think it takes time to actually really analyse someone. But he seems committed. He seems to have his own style of play. So we'll soon see if it works out or not.
I'm just looking there as well about Kilmarnock just as a town, because I didn't really have an idea where it was. So I thought before you come on, I'll have a quick flick on the map. And I'll just sit, and then is it any wonder you're feeling good? Like it's beside Troon, Prestwick, Turnberry.
Look at the smiles at him. Never hasn't been in a couple of years.
Looking, he's only a stone's throw from like Troon, Prestwick, and well, Turnberry. Three of the greatest golf courses arguably in the UK and nearly the world. Huh?
Yeah, thankfully I played two out of the three, just Prestwick to tick off.
Do you get free membership because you're a footballing superstar? No.
I wouldn't say that, but I wish I was a free membership. But some people would have said over the last couple of years that I was more a golfer than a footballer. But thankfully, that's changed this season.
Which ones have you played? You played Troon and...
I've played Royal Troon and then I've played Turnberry. So I just need to play Prestwick. So and hopefully we can get that ticked off soon.
Which did you enjoy more?
Oh, I've played well a couple of times at Royal Troon, so I probably would say I prefer them a lot more, or that one a lot more. But no, they're both quality, and then thankfully Kilmarnock set up a wee link with Turnberry, so our golf day and stuff they got there for the fans and sponsors is there, so it's quality now. What a place!
And how much is a round of golf at Troon and Turnberry?
Without members, they would be around the 400 mark, I would say.
Loose change for you, yeah.
Now. Oh, no, not a chance. You'd never see me pay that. Thankfully, I know a few members.
You're bound to get plenty of members wanting to take the Northern Ireland International Kilmarnock Capital out for a game of golf.
The rumor has it, Brad.
Tell you what, I'll never get tired of you saying that. A Northern Ireland International, that's quality.
Rumor has it, Brad asks people, "Do you not know who I am?" That's just my word. That's the word in the street.
The day he does that, he'll let me back in this podcast, Johnny.
Yeah, well, that's just. Yeah, I'm just passing on a rumor I heard.
Well,
no. I'll never get big time on these. Don't worry.
Who was telling you, Andy Law?
I'm saying nothing.
But I say that Uncle Dougie would say it to my front door.
Eh?
If I said that Uncle Dougie would say it to the front door, tell me to wise up.
You would have plenty of boys ready to pull you back down again to earth, like so. Right. Well, here we'll finish up. We'll just have a quick look ahead, Johnny, to Saturday. Cliftonville at home. No Matthew Shevlin. Obviously sent off last week. Beaten 5-0 at Solitude not that long ago. Looking forward to it, eh?
I think if there's one team you probably wouldn't want to play right now, it probably would be Cliftonville. I watched them on Friday night against Linfield, and how they lost that game, I do not know. They should have been 4 up before Linfield scored. But yeah, like strangely enough, And this probably will sound strange if we don't get a positive result, but how many times have you seen Corey and have a bad result and then go and beat one of the big boys, or beat one of the big boys and then lose the one of the lower teams in the league? So, yeah, look, I think Warren's team talk was already done for him after the last game at Solitude, when he said his own words were that the player's starting half performance was just basically down tools. So they can't afford to do that again. Clifford are far too good for that. So yeah, I think it's up to the boys. They try and put that one right.
Jim Magilton was there on Saturday at the Ballymena match. I think he was certainly there in the first half, but I didn't see him there in the second half, so I don't know whether he had left at half time or not, but I wonder what he made of it all in Ballymena.
Aye, well, he would have known that Corey and, you know, started well and missed a really, really good chance, and the red card obviously changes everything. And so, no, yeah, I think the two goals that we can see, yes, they were two good finishes, the young lad, but probably could have done better as well. So, yeah, it's a tough game, but there's, you know, we've won, you know, there's no reason why we can't get a positive. Like, there is no reason why we've got a good team there, but we definitely just need to try and keep the back door shut as best we can.
A wee bit of belief and a bit of confidence. And Brad, Ben Wilson, I don't know whether you, like, obviously he came through the Korean Academy. I don't know whether you would have known him much coming through, but I mean, he obviously was at Brighton, and if he keeps going the way he's going, he'll not be long before he's back across the water again.
Yeah, when I was training with Korean and stuff, I'm playing for Korean, him, Luke McKendry, Sam McLellan and stuff would all train with us, because they were young boys coming through, and you could even see then it was a natural finisher and had all the physical attributes and stuff that got there. And at times, like, obviously it doesn't work across the water and stuff, but yeah, he's a talent, like, and I've seen some of his finishes this season, and like, they are a joke. Like, he has an eye for goal, and a lot of people would pay good money for that there, because, as we all know, scoring's the toughest thing in football, but he can certainly do it. And he's a player Corian's got to look out for on Saturday. But as Johnny says, they've got to look out for a lot of players, because the way him and Rory Heal and stuff that got there linking up, they could be dangerous. But as Johnny said there as well, like, why not bounce back with a win against Clifton Ball? Like, they're, I've watched Corian a few times this season on the Friday night TV and stuff that got there. And the game that comes off the top of my head is Glentoran away. They absolutely popped them off the pitch, getting the ball down and playing. And they were absolutely brilliant that night. So why can't they do the same again? But even a wee thing about Corian, like, when I was there and stuff, like, Corian's been in worse times than this. I think there was like a spell through December and January, we never won a game in 13 or 14 games and stuff. We got there and look the way we bounced back and stuff. So with a wee bit of patience and hopefully a result on Saturday, it can kick them back up and running.
That's a good positive way to end there, Brad, I think, wasn't it, Johnny?
It was. That's why he's paid the big bucks for, Damon.
you watching the Celtic there, Johnny, are you?
No, but I seen they're winning there, so I'm away to start crying here right now. So
you have no luck here. Well, Brad, thank you. Are you going to get back home at all at any stage to catch a game, or are you just hard to get over, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm hoping so. At some stage, because even my girlfriend was saying there that she's never been to a Korean game and stuff like that there, because my brother Mark still loves going when he can, and mum and dad still love going, and we always chat about the games and going to the games and stuff. So I think we'll try and get over for a few games, even maybe in January when we have a bit of a break.
And where's your girl? What's your girlfriend's name? We'll give her a quick shout out.
She's called Ashlyn.
Right.
You're punching, Brad. Hello, but you do know, do you tell her that you play for Northern Ireland? Is that how you got her?
No. She met me when I was playing for Kilmarnock Reserve, so it's all good.
You sure don't know what you do now.
very good. But here, things are looking well for you, Brad. You're obviously very happy at home on the football field and everything else. Life is good, and long may that continue for you, and the best of luck going forward. You're a great man. You always come on the podcast. You never turn us down. You always come on. You're always very, very honest when you come on as well, and I speak for me and Johnny, and I'm sure Johnny you'd say the same. He's a great lad, and he's never changed in all the time he's been away.
100%. Takes a bit of banter as well. Listen, we're all, I said at the start of the podcast, we're all proud of him. I remember him making his playing, I think it was Warren Point or something, might have been his debut or somewhere like that. Somewhere, the shirt was about 25 sizes too big for him. Remember the day Roy Carroll decided he bust his nose? It's just a wee thing to remember, and scoring the mask, wearing a mask way to Ballymar. Thought we signed Batman or something. Just different. You just remember different things, and yeah, obviously when Brad got the move, and you know, things just maybe didn't work out as well as he wanted to at Blackburn, but it was obviously decent around and working, and he's now flying. So everyone jokes about the time he scored against Rangers and all, like, you know, if there's one person you wanted to score against, it was Brad. Genuinely, you know, I did punch the TV, to be fair, but once, you know, but as long as it was Brad, you know, that's what, I couldn't believe it. It's just it's the same as Alex on Saturday. If somebody's going to, you'd rather be somebody you know and somebody you support.
Absolutely. Good lads, both of them. So, well, here, Brad, we'll not keep you any longer because I'm sure you've got probably training and stuff to prepare for in the morning, which is always, it always seems strange when you come from a part-time footballing thing, training at night to football full-time and training during the day. It must be a pleasure.
Oh, it's a joy. It's easy to wake up in the morning.
It is. And how long, how long do you train for?
Our normal schedule will be all the boys have to be in before 9:45 in the morning, then breakfast and stuff supplied for you so you can come in earlier. Then you're in the gym for a wee bit of activations and stuff, and then you train about 10:30 to 12:00, get lunch, do the gym, and then away home. But to be fair, I've good mates and stuff. I know, but even better, I've good mates around Kilmarnock and stuff, like playing with the boys and stuff. So we'd sit and play cards for a wee while or go for coffees and stuff they got there. So like it's a good social aspect after training as well.
Are you in the international group now, Brad? Are you in the
I haven't made it into the group chat yet, but fingers crossed.
Finally, before you go, I promise you that's the last thing. When Corey and Dougal go full time, if that's what happens, how do you think the club will go that? You know, how do you think they'll find it and stuff like that, I suppose? Because you've obviously adapted to full-time football yourself.
Yeah, I think it does. It does take time to fully adapt. And especially in the Irish League, I think you can see that as well. Like, Larne never, like, hit the ground running straight away. Linfield, Glentoran, all the teams actually, Crusaders and stuff. And I think people expect it. Oh, they're full-time now. They should be doing a lot better than they are. But the only difference is that you're training and stuff every day, but I do genuinely think that Corian have the right people in the right places. Oren's obviously done it when he's at St Mirren and stuff he got there. Colin's had look over at Swansea, and even his son-in-law's at Brighton and stuff he got there to give advice. So obviously they have the right people in the right place, and they have good coaching staff and stuff there as well, and I think the players are really up for it too, because they're the ones that have got to be fully committed to it. So as long as they're fully committed and it's done right, and then they listen to the right advice, then I don't see why not. I don't see why Corian can't kick up the leagues and be a really good full time in the Premier League.
A nice way to finish your career too, coming back.
In your mid-30s.
Just finish off full-time career. That'd be nice, wouldn't it, Johnny?
You're the one that said it, Damien.
We can't but dream.
I honestly hope that Brad never comes back. I hope he has a great career over the water, and you know, if he comes back, he can come back for half a season. That'll be a nice way to a lap of honor.
So right here, guys, we've taken up enough of your time, Brad. Thank you very much. Enjoy training this week. Enjoy Aberdeen on Sunday lunchtime, I think it is, isn't it? You're at home.
Yeah.
On Sky Sports.
12:00.
Sky Sports. Yeah. Captain Sky on Sky Sports. Hey,
Are you scoring?
Hopefully.
You have to think of a good celebration for us for Sunday.
You can text me your suggestions for
That takes too much imagination for me, that. I'm afraid. You can do that as Zorro. So, right, well, here, I'll let you go. The very best of luck over the weekend and the rest of the season, and also for the international team as well. And we look forward to seeing you get many more caps under Martin or Michael O'Neill into the future. Good luck with everyone, Brad. Johnny, I will see you on Saturday. Hopefully we get a better result. Hard to know what to expect, but hey, it is what it is. It's a game of football at the end of the day, so let's just get on with it, and you never know what's going to happen, do you?
No, that's it.
Right, thank you everybody for listening to the podcast. We appreciate your support. Any suggestions, feedback, always welcome. And also a big thank you once again to our kind sponsors, the Lodge Hotel in Corian. So until next week, enjoy the match at the weekend, and as ever, come on the Bandsiders.